Two things that are fun 12 months out of the year. Talking Raiders football and tailgating. So let's go with Clay, Vince, and Vinny on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Flying through into hour number two here on the Morning Tailgate, it is Raider Nation Radio 920. Vince Sapienza, Vinny Bonsignor, Clay Baker, coming to you live from a Circa Resort and Casino here in lovely Las Vegas. Once again, as the Raiders are getting set for their final practice ahead of their preseason game in Arizona. Roster cut down day, 5 days away. We are 2 weeks away from the start of the NFL season. 15 days away from the Raiders kicking off their year in Foxborough, but who is counting? Apparently everybody inside this building here, inside the Circa. And joining us now is, I'm going to call you an expert. He's Ian Ritchie. He's the first entrant into the Circa Survivor Circa Grandissimo. That is correct.
The Grandissimo.
Okay. And he is also the founder of Full Time Fantasy. I want to get into that here in just a hot second, but when we're talking about this Circa Survivor, Circa Grandissimo, great name.
It's a great name.
I mean, you feel like you're on top of the world.
I feel like
right?
A part of something.
For those that have no idea what this is, what is this all about? And all I see is a $100,000 entry fee.
Yeah.
Is that a typo?
No. There's not an extra zero there.
Okay.
It's a Survivor contest that Circa launched this year. They run their Circa Survivor with $16 million guaranteed prize, and they decided to up it this year for a Grandissimo with a $100,000 entry fee. We have a little bet, actually. I told them 25 to 30 signups. They thought 15. So right now I think we're at 19. So
19.
I might win that bet.
You're well on your way.
I'm well on my way. That might be the only bet I win.
That's a good start to the betting process.
That's outstanding. So explain how it works.
Yeah, so you just have to pick a game each week, a Survivor game. There's no spread. You just got to find a winner. And, you know, it sounds a lot easier than it is. Every year there's some dark games on week one and two and knock a bunch of the people out. And this year's no different. Week one is incredibly difficult with $100,000 on the line trying to pick just a straight winner. There's like two
teams. You
don't
want to mess up on the first
week. Oh, God, if you get knocked out the first week, you just can't stand it.
Remember the Bengals last year in week one? How devastating that was?
Real quick, do you have to put the picks in beforehand, or is it on a week-to-week basis?
It's a week-to-week basis, thankfully. And I do remember the Bengals last year. Jacoby Brissett knocked me out. I had two teams on the Bengals last year, so that was a shot in the stomach. I appreciate the reminder. You know,
it was a trauma everywhere. Yes. Right? When it was any sort of local or simple survivor, this was rough. That was a rough one. But at the same time, like if you bring in a $100,000 entry, are there more than one people in this power structure? Are you having more than one person deciding who the game is? How many mouths do you have to feed in this?
Right, there's four of us.
Okay.
We have a group called Icon Racing, and we buy a bunch of racing horses. I'm partnered with Jason Wirth, the former Phillies and Nationals player.
To cover him with the Dodgers.
Yeah,
love
there you
that
go.
Dude.
Yeah,
great beard.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Great hitter.
Yeah.
That too.
And beard. Beard first.
Beard first. Yeah.
Hair.
The beard is, and the hair is a superpower.
Yeah.
But we own a bunch of racehorses together. We own Icon Racing. And so we thought this would be a great way. We raised, I think, $3 million and bought horses last year at the sales, and this year we're raising another $4 million. And so we thought, yeah, isn't that crazy? So we're putting $100,000 in this thing together, the four of us, and if we win, we're buying a couple million dollars and more racehorses. So.
Okay. I don't want to put the cart before the horse. But I was just looking at some of the details and some of the fine print, if you will, on the circus. So obviously week one has maybe the most pressure, right? Because you got to get that one right. But then I was looking at Christmas Day is its own week.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you got to get to week one, got to get to week two before we even get to Christmas. But if you get to Christmas Day.
Oh, man.
And things don't. Is that the worst Christmas in the history of Christmas?
So it's interesting because the Grandissimo, like, you don't have to plan around Thanksgiving and Christmas per se. There's a lot less teams. In the main Survivor with that many teams, you have to prepare for the Thanksgiving Day and the Christmas Day. And my goal every year is to have an amazing Thanksgiving with a team plan, right? Like, because I don't want to be out by Thanksgiving, right? And so every year my goal is to be alive at Thanksgiving. And we've been alive at Thanksgiving. 1 year we were in the final, I think, 100 and few teams before we got knocked out. It's tough. You got to plan way ahead, and there's games that you look at early in the season, and you just cannot take those teams because they just have to be taken later. You look at that Thanksgiving game, you look at a Christmas game. If there's a couple layups, you literally have to save those teams because your goal is to win.
Right.
Right? And so, you know, you got to take some chances along the way. You got to take some really low spreads, and it's difficult to do.
So obviously this is a massive investment financially, yeah. right? For those listening, I mean, they're sitting there like, this is a lot. But yeah. what kind of investment time-wise is that? Obviously, you have a job. But now you have to treat this. You said this is a lot of homework. So, yeah. like, what are we doing to do the homework? How are we preparing besides listening to Raider Nation Radio?
Right,
920
right.
on the daily.
Of course. Well, the Grandissimo is going to be different. Like I said, I think the main Survivor contest, we maxed out. We have 10 teams. That's the one that takes a lot of effort because you're trying to figure out how to dice your teams up. If you're going to put them all on one team and just go for it, if you're going to dice it up into two, put it on three. So that's the one that really takes a lot of planning. The Grandissimo is a lot more money, and you think that would be the time suck, but it's right. not. It's the other one with 10 teams where you're trying to figure out how to play it
okay.
so you continue to survive.
Is the strategy, and we're speaking with Ian Ritchie here from Full Time Fantasy. He's part of the great Circa Survivor football contest. Come on down to Circa this week in the Ultimate Weekending. Sign up and... Do you take a look at the games in December and then work your way down towards September so you understand, like, all right, where's our best matchups later in the season instead of going week by week chronologically, weeks 1, 2, 3, 4? Do you start at the end and work your way up?
Yeah, is that how that works? Giving away our secret.
Oh, sorry. I just heard it as a strategy once before. I didn't know if that was realistic or not.
Blaine's just trying to get in on the group.
Yeah, we just flip a coin. We just flip a coin.
No, you get your right on. I mean, look, a lot of people start at week one and work their way up.
Right.
And that's great. But we start at the end and work our way back for that exact reason.
Okay.
Because
right.
we're really trying to lock in those teams that are going to help us win. Yeah. Right. And you got to get there. But if you get there, you better have some teams. So, you know, we don't go too far, but we work our way back from about week 10 or 11 and back from there.
It's a good philosophy.
Yeah.
I'm curious, in the fantasy world, how the Raiders are viewed right now. We see these guys at practice, and I feel like there's weapons that they haven't had in a long time. Is that starting to circulate out there?
It really is. You know, in last year, you know, the big talk when I was talking Raiders football was, you know, Brock Bowers lining up in the backfield, Brock Bowers lining up a tight end in the slot, like all this great stuff, and it was great information for all the fantasy folks. This year with the gum-chomping coach on the sidelines,
yes.
He's got a pretty good history of fantasy stuff. And so, you know, you look at the team and you say, okay, Ashton Jeanty, okay, he's got his Marshawn Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Thornton, okay, he's got his Metcalf.
Right.
Trey Tucker, okay, he's got his Lockett. Right. Jacoby Myers, okay, is that in Jigbuzz? Like three levels of passing. And everybody's very excited about, you know, Ashton Jeanty and Bowers. Nobody quite knows what to make of Geno quite yet,
right?
Other than, you know, previous expectations. He's not getting drafted much. But Thornton is definitely a deep sleeper for a lot of people. Jacoby's kind of the guy people are taking as a consistent presence.
Right.
But Thornton is really a deep sleeper for people. And I think people are very excited about a Raiders' potential firepower this year.
Wow, that's really interesting because you think about for offensive weapons in years past for the Raiders, that was probably like an overlooked team. Like you're like, hey, why waste your time? But where would you see where certain guys, especially at wide receiver, you know Brock Bowers is going to receive a lot of targets.
Yeah.
So where do you rank somebody like Jacoby Myers, for example?
Jacoby's going about the seventh round. In years previous, he's gone ninth or tenth round. And he's just been consistent every year, getting a lot of catches. He's one of those overlooked guys in fantasy. People just don't respect him. But you respect him if you've had him on your roster before. And so I think he's going about the seventh round, eight at the latest right now. And people are looking at him as a number three, a fourth receiver on their team.
Yeah, so Brock Bowers comes in as the 24th ranked player on the NFL's top 100.
Awesome.
Little low, in my opinion. I don't know about you guys. But imagine after, again, I don't know how much preseason homework you're doing, but I would imagine after that game against San Francisco on Saturday, the run Ashton Jeanty had running over the defender, scoring the touchdown. I would imagine in fantasy drafts within the last 6 days, whatever Saturday was, has he shot up even more now? Because I think there might have been a question mark. Well, I don't know about the Raiders offensive from a fantasy perspective.
Right.
Raiders offensive line, we know P and Chip want to run the ball, but I feel like that one vaulted him up. Is that fair?
That's definitely fair. I think early on people had him mid-late first round, and then after the first game, he pushed back. He was kind of mid-second.
Yeah, minus 1 yard.
Right.
This guy's not going to do anything.
People are like, oh. But it was just that's exactly. But it was very reactive.
Yeah,
right?
of course.
It wasn't. You know, and you got
someone say silly.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. And then he comes back the next game, has a good one. He's back into he's put himself back in the first round. I think the concern that a lot of people have is he runs so hard.
Mm-hmm.
He lowers that shoulder. He delivers a lot of the contact. He's very powerful. So who's his backup, right? Who if he goes down because he runs so physically, like a Pacheco and those kind of guys, right, they tend to get hurt sometimes. So is that going to be a Raheem Mostert? Is that going to be Zamir White? Is it going to be Sincere McCormick? So a lot of guys are trying to figure out where that backup is. And so if that's some information you guys can help with, that would be helpful for a lot of the fantasy guys.
I'm literally just writing about Zamir now. I feel like
– Don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone.
So you'll have to read that at vegas.com at some point. But yeah, it is interesting. I think that running back room is, you know, it's the Ashton Jeanty show without question. But behind him, there's some important decisions and some interesting decisions I think that the Raiders have to make. Obviously, from a broader standpoint within the league, are there any guys that you feel are flying under the radar right now? That
I think Thornton. I mean, I think that if they utilize him like they did DK in the Seattle offense, if Pete used him that way, he could be really good. I mean, he's a big guy. He's fast. He's got good pedigree. Like, he could be the guy that surprises people, and so a lot of guys are taking him 13th, 14th round as a real surprise guy, kind of a deep sleeper, a stashing cash, I guess is the term they've been using. You know, but, getting back to the Jeanty part, like, he just runs so hard, and it's very impressive. And you know, for a rookie running back to get taken in the first round of fantasy drafts is really something, because there's some good running backs out there, like Omarion Hampton's going in the third round. Right, Trevion Henderson from the Patriots going the third round, right? And you got Ashton Jeanty going the first round, and that's really saying something. I mean, obviously opportunity there, but it also speaks to how talented he is and what Raider Nation's in for this year.
It's funny that you mentioned how hard he runs. You know, in training camp, you obviously can't tackle, right? So there's times where he'll get hit in the backfield, and you know, colleagues will say, "Oh, that would have been tackle." I'm like, "Not with this guy."
Yeah.
Not with this guy, and I think people are going to see as we saw in the game.
He got the first stinger of his football career,
which is amazing.
Went out, and again, for precautionary reasons, of course, but I think it was more so he didn't know what was happening because he never had one before. Right. So he goes off. He's like, "Yeah, things are like a little
weird."
I'm staring from the press box with my binoculars at, and he's smiling the whole time, and he's like shaking it out. Goes in the blue tent, comes out still smiling. I'm like, there's no way he's going back out there. Goes back out there, runs over a starting DB in the NFL, and then caps the drive off with a touchdown. Talking to Ian Ritchie here, live at the Circa. I can't get past this. You said you have a group of four for the Circa Survive.
Yeah.
But you didn't divulge how you come to agreements. I mean, there's no way you're coming to a consensus every time. Because somebody at some point is going to have more pressure than the other three.
Right.
Or two, they're going to have – they're going to be like, this better come
We've had that discussion. Jason's the alpha.
Okay.
As you could probably imagine.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah.
Smart.
So, like, if there's any tie, man, Jason rules the roost. So, you know, he likes that pressure.
Okay.
Like, some people are like, oh, I don't want to be the tie-break guy. I don't want to be the one – He wants to be the guy that makes the call.
Yeah, 0-2 count, yeah.
He wants to be that guy. Winners win. And that's kind of what he always says. That's what he got into horse racing, baseball, you know. Right.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
So you guys will have like a consortium. You'll pound the table for your teams, and then it'll come on to like a final day where you decide, all right, let's go. You send it to the proxy or however you guys do it. Is that how that works?
Yeah. So we actually have a racing podcast we do for fun called Off the Rail. And so we go on, we talk about the team, what we're going to do, who likes who, right? And
okay.
Then, yeah. And then Jason, like you said, Jason will pound the table and say, nope, we're going with that if there's a tie.
Who hits the send button?
That'll be me.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So you have final. He may have final say. You have final power.
I have final push, yeah.
Hey, Presidente.
There could be a couple accidents if he and Jason don't see eye to eye.
Can
just
you
saying.
Just imagine. Oh, God. I couldn't live with myself.
It's going to be like this. Shaking now.
If I push that button and take somebody other than who he wants and that costs us, that would not be pretty.
What year is this for you?
For Circus Survivor?
Participating in
Circus Survivor. We started year one, so we've been in every year. And you know, look, I was really excited to be the first person to enter the Grandissimo.
Yeah.
I mean, it was an honor, to be honest. It's I know it sounds crazy, and it's $100,000, but it was a real honor to be the first one to enter. It's an unbelievably great contest. Circa does everything so well here, and I respect them so much that it felt really good to be the first one to enter that, you know?
You're also the founder of Full Time Fantasy. For those that aren't aware, what is that you were telling us? You got a bunch of drafts today. You're holding a seminar.
Yeah,
tell us what's going on. A
lot of action. So we've partnered with Circa for the Fantasy Football World Championships, which are live and online drafts. And we have the Las Vegas Fantasy Championships, which are live and online drafts at a little lesser price point. And then this weekend, we're running the Women's Series. And it's something that's been really important for us. This is the second year we've run it here at Circa. We invite ladies from around the – women from around the media industry. Mm-hmm. Lindsay Rhodes is here. Steffi mm-hmm. Smalls is here. Kendall Valenzuela from Sirius Satellite Radio. Yep. We have some people from Fantasy Life. And they come, and we hold little panels. They talk about sports betting. They talk about fantasy. We teach other women how to play. We live stream it. We want everyone to have a team,
yeah.
And we think it's a really great thing if everybody gets a team, and so we really push this because, and we want it to grow every single year. We want more and more women to be involved and more women to draft teams, so we put together a $99 entry fee for the women's draft series, and the winner wins a trip to Maui for two. And
okay.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's not about money. It's about
right.
It's about teaching them fantasy.
Absolutely.
And getting them to have fun. And, you know, they're surrounded by fantasy football all the time, mm-hmm. and everybody deserves a team.
Absolutely.
And so the women's series has been something that's been very cool. And to their credit, all the women have really embraced it. And they come out here to Vegas, and they come on Radio Row, and we've really tried to elevate them and get them on radio shows and things like that. It's been a lot of fun, and Circa has been an amazing partner for that.
Fantastic.
Well, the engagement on that has been really strong. I mean, did you ever realize how much of a market that was for the women of fantasy football? You said this is your second year, but how bigger and bigger this is getting throughout the years, and you're realizing that there's been a lot of women in fantasy football for a long time, but now they're starting to have a home for it. Full-time fantasy is a big part of it, but so is Circa.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we've always tried to be at the forefront of elevating women into our stuff. With Liz Loza used to work for us. We were the first folks that hired her. She's on ESPN now, and mm-hmm. we've got a lot of other women that have worked for us through the years, and our goal has always been to let them become analysts, and then let them move on to a bigger media company and really kind of work with them in that way. And it's been great. It's really been good. And like you said, the engagement is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. They're so much better at social media than guys are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, they walk in the room, they open the windows, they show Stadium Swim, they're taking pictures of it. This is amazing. You know what I mean? Like, guys walk in, they're like, oh, where's the beer in the fridge? You know? But they're promoting everything, and they take pictures of everything and film everything. It's pretty awesome.
Talking to Ian Ritchie here, live on the Morning Tailgate, Raider Nation Radio 920 here live at Circa. Before we let you go, mm-hmm. do you want to let us know where mm-hmm. you're going week one?
Yeah, you want to help us out, help some people
hey,
out?
Hey, you don't have to. Yeah. Zero pressure from us. You have enough pressure.
Yeah.
But who
well,
who
do,
who where are you going? How about this? Who to stay away from?
Who to stay away from? Well, the Saints are underdogs in 17 games this year, so that's kind of an ugly one.
You okay. have 20 weeks, and just put that in perspective, yeah. I think I love that you brought up the Saints, because you're sitting there saying, like, well, I'm never going to pick the Saints. Maybe, however, maybe not. You yeah. got 20 weeks, yeah. 32 teams. Mm-hmm. You know, there's 12 that you won't pick, but there might be value at some point
at
if
some
you
point.
Don't think they're going to go over. Just where
yeah,
would that be?
That's yeah. kind of scary. Huh?
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Yeah, so week one, there's a lot of people that are circling the Commanders team.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one. You know, there's honestly two or three games that everybody's circling. So in the grandissimo, do you want to be where everybody else is?
Right.
Or do you want to try and find game three or game four? I mean, we're getting pushed in a lot of directions, you know. Oh, take the Seahawks. They're an underdog. What the hell are you talking about? They're
right.
the Giants. What?
No,
Giants?
No, no, no.
Oh, my yeah. God.
Wait till Jackson Dart gets in.
Yeah, right? So, like, there's a lot of people that have their opinions and ideas on it. There's the obvious games. The Broncos are a big game. A lot of people are playing week one.
Mm-hmm.
Again, scary.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's a really tough one. The one interesting thing is you can bet the Thursday-Friday night game, and this is going to sound crazy. You lose, you're allowed to buy back in.
Oh.
So, okay. You know, I mean, if you have an extra 100 grand laying around.
Oh,
same
oh you're not talking about.
same cost.
You're not about.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sure.
Wait. I know we're on radio right now. We're not a visual medium right now. But the way he just said that was like, yeah, another 20 bucks.
Yeah.
You're right back.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, no, another 100 grand. Yeah. Okay.
Oh,
okay,
no.
Ian.
If you talk to Derek, Steve, you talk to some of the folks, they would tell you, you know, you should take one of the games on Thursday or Friday. because it's
I'm
not.
Sure it, it,
it's, yeah.
I'm sure he would.
I'm sure he would. Great sales chance.
Yeah. If you come out alive, come out alive. That's huge.
Come out alive. But it's tough. You know, you got the Eagles at home against the Cowboys, and then you have the Chargers Chiefs game.
Yeah,
and
so I would stay away from that.
You're right. They're tough. I'm more
thinking you could actually enjoy a weekend if you take a Thursday game and it goes well.
Well, look, we're running so many drafts here.
That's fair. That's true.
We got six today. We run about six or eight drafts every day here. Other than Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're doing Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays. Okay. We run draft Sundays. I've been here for a week and a half already. I'm here through September 7th. Our last draft is Sunday morning, 6 a.m. Last chance to draft before kickoff.
Wow.
Yeah, like
some
diehards. We got people that stay up all night. They come in 6 in the morning. We draft that last league, the last chance to draft. You don't like your team or something happened, like. It's a good opportunity to get that one last one in for the D-gens.
That's awesome.
We're all D-gens, I guess, in our own right. So. Yeah.
Look at where we are.
That's right.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Ian Ritchie, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. Really appreciate the time.
I appreciate you guys having me.
Good to meet you. Best of luck this season.
Thanks, I need it.
What a life.
What a world. Live at the Circa. It's the Morning Tailgate, Raider Nation Radio, 920-702-365-9200. We'll open up the phones. We'll read some of the texts as we talk about the surprises of camp. Ian, I'm sure, is going to be listening to the rest of our show to get Ian's announced.
Of course.
We'll talk a little bit more about Zamir White, Zeus himself, as well as Dante Thornton Jr. It's the Morning Tailgate live from Circa here on Raider Nation Radio, 920.
More Silver and Black Talk with Vince Sapienza, Clay Baker, and Vinny Bonsignor.
Welcome back inside the Morning Tailgate, Raider Nation Radio 920. Vinny, Vince, and Clay coming to you live from Circa here in Las Vegas. This is a beautiful resort, casino, hotel.
Lap of luxury, isn't it?
I mean, it is.
I love this side of town, too. Yeah.
I love walking through Circa.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is just fresh, new, modern.
But it caters to that, like the sports fan, but also caters to like the adult in you, because Circa is different than other casinos because it's 21 and over.
Yeah.
So you're not going to see kids in the strollers running through. It's 21 and over here. And so it's where adults can have fun, you know?
Yeah.
And it's as modern as it is, doesn't it still like have that old Vegas feel, like just kind of.
Yeah, that kind of elegance to
it. Yeah, elegance. Mm-hmm. That's a good word for it.
And do you get out to this side of town very often?
Ever so often.
Yeah, and every time I do, I feel it's
not
like,
as much as I probably should after being in here at this
point. Yeah, but I mean, just the whole, like, the arts district and all of that is it's for anyone that's listening that's not in Las Vegas, it truly is a local scene.
Yeah, and it is old Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, exactly, which is the irony of it.
Which is the funny part of it. But that's why I said at the top of the show, you know, the lights do seem a little brighter here. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, everybody talks about the Strip, and rightfully so. There's something about it out here that is absolutely fantastic. Big thank you to our guest, Ian Ritchie. You know, I'm sorry, I can't get past the way he just threw that in there. You know, if you bet on a Thursday game, you don't, you can buy back in. It's just the way he said it's so nonchalant. You just need an extra $100,000
right.
to do that.
But when you got your the partners that he's got. It actually might make a pretty good, like, you just
makes,
have that.
No, it
you
makes
have
sense.
It in, you have it in your back pocket. You like, budget for it. The possibility of it.
But also, the money isn't going to be put into, like, a CD or something where we're just going to wait for the money to accumulate. Now we're going to buy more horse races.
Yes, exactly.
More race horses. So it's like that. Such a speculative, vague endeavor that is.
Right.
But he's like, that's where the fun is.
Right.
That's how we get going through the off seasons.
Boys, we are officially amongst the whales here in Las Vegas.
I know.
The topic of the day, though, is we bring it back to the Raiders and getting set for practice today, an indoor deal. Can't imagine it's going to be a padded practice, can you? I mean, they've had a couple
Thursday,
tough days.
Saturday. They were not in pads yesterday. So they may be in pads
today.
Maybe.
You know, one interesting note. Well, 702-365-9200 is the number, the topic of the day. Biggest surprises, biggest themes, position battles, players that have surprised you as camp starts to wind down. We'll get to that in a minute. I do want to bring up something. We got to chat with Alandon Roberts yesterday, and he's always a great soundbite, right? He's very thoughtful, funny, keeps it light, but also keeps the main thing the main thing, and tells you what you need to hear. You know, it was interesting. Somebody asked him about how he's been talked about by his teammates as a quiet trash talker. And somebody asked him, you know, what that meant, what that looked like. And he goes, you know, Devin White's kind of the guy that's
the ringleader
of the trash talk. And so sometimes he feels bad for the offense when the defense is having a good day. And he goes, hey, let's ease up a little bit. And Elandon Roberts is a guy whose game predicates on hard hits. Obviously,
yes.
You got to take care of your guys in training.
He had
camp.
One against the Niners, by the way.
Well, he's had a couple in practice.
Yeah.
Not meaning to, but he's had a couple of them.
Nah, not meaning to?
Well. Well, yeah.
Talk about message sending.
Yeah. So, well, it's interesting. That's kind of where I'm going with this. So, apparently, and again, we're learning this after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember specifically on Tuesday, the running backs were having they kind of broke out. Genty had a big run. Zeus had a big run on Tuesday, early on in practice.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of hooting and hollering mm-hmm. from the offense, right? And then I just started noticing that the linebackers in particular, and I was standing next to the Raiders PR, and I go, is it me or are these linebackers thumping a little bit these later on in practice? And Elandon Roberts steps to the podium yesterday, and he references, you know, the offense was talking a little bit too much. I had to remind him. You know, just because I can't take you down doesn't mean I can't.
Y'all must have forgot.
Lay the shoulder, and looking back, and it's hilarious how that works, because as much as everybody's just trying to compete, right, there's a true battle between the offense and the defense, and, you know, maybe it's just the day-in, day-out nature of it. You forget.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are really going to blows, and Elandon Roberts, it was fascinating to hear the kind of the retro of it.
Yeah, and to me, that was the best practice that they've had all – they've
on
had
Tuesday.
A bunch of good practices, but that was next level. And I just feel like this entire week actually has been, you know, and I asked Elandon about this, about just kind of gearing up now for the regular season. You're sort of at that point, like, you know, the guys that know that they've made the team, and yes, they're still preparing, but I feel like it's been pushed up a little bit of a notch into starting to get ready for the New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. And as he told us, which was also very interesting, he dives into the playbook a little bit. Not the playbook, but the film. Like, he prepared for the 49ers as if he would prepare for the New England Patriots. He's preparing. I don't know if he's doing it for this week because he's probably not going to play. But the reason he did that was so that it's not this abrupt thing starting game week, like trying to dial in for our next opponent. Like, get that out. It's practicing.
Get the routine down.
Right?
Now.
Exactly.
Getting the routine
I never even thought about
that. That's a 10-year NFL vet.
Exactly.
That is a 10-year NFL vet. And also, mind you, Super Bowl champion that has seen it at the highest level and understands what it takes to get to the end of the season. It starts early on. And I thought that was one of my biggest takeaways yesterday when he said, yeah, I dug into the film.
Prior to the Niners practice. Yeah.
He dug into the Niners prior to their joint practice.
Yes.
He wanted to have a feel for, because that's where he was going to see most of his snaps, is in the joint practice. And then he said he did it again after practice into the game. You know, and what a message and a presence. That's the leadership, right? I got a chance to sit down with Cody Lindenberg yesterday for the mm-hmm. Raiders podcast, which you can find on all their podcasts, Raiders.com, YouTube, etc. And I asked him about what's it like being in that linebacker room, in particular because you have such experience.
Yeah.
Jermaine Pratt, Elandon Roberts, Devin White. You can even go as far as a Jalen Smith.
Yeah, for
right?
sure you can.
And you have him, Tommy Eichenberg, as these young guys.
Jamal Adams
in that room as well, soaking up all this information. And you don't think a guy like Cody Lindenberg is sitting there saying, oh, that's how you do
yeah.
it. This guy last year was in Minnesota at Gophers fall camp getting
right.
ready for the college season. And as much as that is as known as a Coach Fleck has a NFL-type
right.
run, you can't replicate a true
no.
NFL and dealing with men and careers and guys that this is their job now. And Cody was just talking about what a world of difference just watching them approach the game.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I think that was one of the biggest takeaways in terms of what these veterans are doing at this point to get ready for week one.
Yeah, and it kind of drives home the point that if you're not ahead, you're behind. And in his mind, if I start it's like riding a bike. You know, you have to kind of get back on there. So how many games do you think he's game planned or, you know, studied the tape for? 100? Whatever. Go look at his game logs. He's done it plenty of times before. So it's not like he's never done it before. But in his mind, he needs to prepare for getting into that zone. Mm-hmm. And why wait until the first week to actually do that? Use training camp and a preseason game to kind of get him back into that rhythm, which I think was incredibly insightful.
Genius, too. I mean, super smart.
Right.
Super forward-thinking and super smart, right?
So when we all talk about and I guarantee you he's not the only one that does that, right? So,
100%, yeah.
So when we talk about, preseason games are meaningless.
First time I've ever heard it from a player do that in the preseason.
Same here.
Yeah.
Same here. So when we hear that, oh, these are meaningless games, not to who? You know, maybe to you or whatever, and we get that. But to guys, a 10-year veteran like Landon Roberts, that week turns out that it was way more intricate than anyone would have thought.
Also, Clay points out how there's a reason he's been in the league, been able to stay in the league for as long as he has. I mean, there's a lot of guys, and this isn't just Landon Roberts. I'm talking about anybody. That's how you stay in the league, right? Like, everyone's big, fast, physical, athletic. Mm-hmm. There's a constant new wave of players. It's the guys who are breaking down film to get ready for a preseason game, just not even for the game, but to get in the routine,
exactly,
to be ready come week one, to make it as seamless. I thought it was insanely forward-thinking and very insightful, and it was awesome to kind of get a glimpse of what they're doing besides what we see on the field.
You know, and that's part of, like, when you think about surprises in this time of the year, my biggest surprise on a defensive side was kind of like, is my concern about the defense, normally that will dissipate throughout camp, you know, and then when you go through preseason. And it really hasn't yet, because I still have some, you know, uncertainty about what the secondary is going to look like. But when I hear that kind of work ethic coming in from him, that kind of lets me further know that there's probably stuff that's underneath the surface. They just take a big breath, and you'll know it when you see it when it comes week one in Foxborough.
Yeah, and you know, there's so many new faces to this team. We need two hands to count the new starters, right? Right? Even though it's a returning defensive coordinator in Patrick Graham, this is a Pete Carroll influenced defense. So I think of it's to me, the offense is ahead of the defense right now, and that's kind of crazy to say because usually it's in reverse. But I do believe that because for a lot of different reasons, and this offense I think is going to be has a chance to be pretty potent. But I do think the defense, as the year goes on, is going to get better. They're going to settle in. It helps that there's this veteran leadership on that team, and that they could probably piece it together in a lot of ways to be able to be a credible defense to start out. But I do think with all these blending of ideas and this blending of personnel, I think it's going to take a little bit of time for that thing to come together.
702-365-9200 is the number. Surprises for training camp. What are they for you? Eric in Idaho says, greetings, tailgate. The surprise for me is the rebirth of Zamir White. This young back looked slow and lost last year. I initially didn't think he'd make it out of OTAs with this new regime. A great surprise for Raiders and us fans. Genty and White are our new Gardner and Wheatley. We're hitting this season running. Thanks, Eric in Idaho. How about that? Wheatley and Gardner, that's a pairing I haven't heard in a hot minute.
Yeah, that was an awesome 1-2 combo. That was very difficult to stop. And that was the identity of those Raiders teams with Gruden 1.0.
Yeah, with the rotation of thing. I think it's a
It's a fun thought.
It's a 1-2 punch.
It's a fun thought.
But I just think, man,
the only time Genty's coming out is when he needs a blow, needs a quick water break. I don't think you're not going to.
And there will be some managing by the coaching staff,
especially
for a rookie.
I agree, but I just don't see this rotation.
Not like.
I just don't see this, you know, if Genty's sitting there just on the sidelines, hands on his hips, like waiting to go back, I don't see that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, and we haven't, we've seen, you know, the natural course of rotations for training camp. But I don't think that we've never – actually, yesterday, I don't know what was going on, but yesterday he didn't practice for a while. There was an early point where he was out there, and then he wasn't out there. He was just watching from the sidelines with his helmet up.
I can't imagine his shoulder is not feeling
A little something?
A little something.
Yeah, so like, he'll have a long...
Like, I'm not saying he's hurt. I'm not saying that in the slightest, and this is pure speculation, but I do know, talking to players in the past, anytime you get a stinger, whether it's your first one, your 20th, whatever, you're going to feel it for a couple days. So, like, the adrenaline, whatever was working Saturday, I'm sure he's...
Yeah,
in some respect, feeling it.
Woke up.
I don't know if that's what the case was, but
the bigger point, we haven't seen like this.
Yeah, go to the San Francisco game. Go to the San Francisco game. Yeah. Outside of that stinger, Raheem Mostert came in for a couple plays. He goes back in. He didn't come off the field until after the touchdown.
The goal line was his.
Right, like he didn't come off the field. Mm-hmm. And I don't foresee that changing in the regular season.
And thank God for it. because that would be too confusing, and there always comes up to a point where it's like, why are you taking your best player off the field just at the goal line situation? Let's not do that. Chip Kelly has simplified things.
Yeah, I agree. I think the only time when he needs it, yes. I do think there will be a little bit of a plan in place for a rookie player coming into the NFL. There's going to be more games. It's a more physical game. That they're not going to overdo it with him, but it's going to be him pretty much 98% of the time.
805 Raider, no question. JPJ not being locked in at center is the biggest surprise. I don't think we're talking about his injury more. Pete did say it's a factor.
JPJ's
injury.
What injury?
Missing that
the
one.
Ribs? A week ago?
No, it has nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that.
No?
Okay. No.
Yeah, I don't.
This has been going on since the start of training camp. He was in competition for the center job. Then Jordan Meredith won that, and now he's in a competition with a right guard job.
Snakeman says Tyree Strikes is a guy who's about to get medieval on some teams. Clearly has a chip and looks motivated and comfy in his skin. Couldn't agree more. 702-365-9200. Have not heard of it described that way as medieval, but I like it.
I like it. I like where that's going. Hey, if you want to get a little medieval, Pantera's coming to Las Vegas Friday, August 29th, 7 p.m. at T-Mobile Arena. We have a pair of tickets for you. Just be caller 9 at 702-365-9200. It's the morning tailgate hooking you up. Raider Nation Radio 920.
Back to the morning tailgate with Vinny, Vince, and Clay on Raider Nation Radio.
Welcome back inside the show. The morning tailgate, Raider Nation Radio 920, coming to you live from Circa here in downtown Las Vegas. A beautiful morning here in Las Vegas as the Raiders getting set for the final practice ahead of their preseason finale against Arizona on Saturday. Roster cut down day this coming Tuesday. 2 weeks from tonight, the NFL season kicks off. Can you believe it? Like, can you feel it? Talking to Ian earlier, I started to really feel like, you know, the fantasy footballers are starting to feel it. They're starting to talk about value, stash and cash type of guys. But then he lost me on the $100,000 rebuy-in.
Yeah.
And we are back live from the Circa. Here, getting you ready on Raider Nation Radio 920 for the football season. We were just talking about how, like, this now, when we see everyone, you know, from all over the nation here at the media center in the Galaxy Ballroom inside the Circa, that football's back. Oh, yeah. And it's like, it may not look like it or feel like it outside, but now the change of the seasons is happening and you feel football is finally official.
It's funny. Jose reminds us, because we were here last year, wasn't it Circa Survivor? Keep saying Survivor. Wasn't it Circa Survivor where Skylar Thompson became Clay's favorite player?
Oh,
I
yes.
do believe this was the birth of it.
Yeah, that's kind of where the...
Skylar!
Survivor! Survivor Thompson! It's good to see you know, people have institutional memories like that, and he's still on a roster.
The smoke's coming out of his ear, guys.
That's quite the memory.
He's in Baltimore, right?
Clay hates Skylar Thompson.
Just keep away.
We're never going to book Skylar Thompson on this show.
And maybe Dr. Phil needs an intervention, bring us together.
Brad in the 760, Tyree, of course, is getting talked about, but if the coaches can unlock both Tyree and Michael Mayer, it's like adding two guys we haven't really had the last couple years can finally get some bang for our buck out of that draft. That's an interesting way to look at it, too. Well, not saying that they were just non-existent or didn't do anything, but if they, I think to his point, if they can unlock the potential in which the hype they had in their draft year this year, That is kind of like adding two new pieces.
Yeah, it is for sure. And it's two different situations for me. I feel like Tyree just needed to refine his game and learn his game and learn the craft and all that. Michael Mayer is a hell of a tight end, has been.
Just get him
always
ball.
Will be.
Just get him ball.
Yeah, it was. I put this way more. There was no development needed for yeah. Michael Mayer. Yeah, you're not a finished product when you get to the NFL. Heck, even Brock Bowers is learning new ways to do it. Michael Mayer was just a case of inept coaching, to be quite honest with you, that they did not get him involved earlier and more often, and I put that on the coaches. So, but to his point, if you can unlock him and get it to a point where Michael Mayer is a part of your offense in a much bigger way than he has been, then that just helps the football team, and that would be a credit to Chip Kelly and the offensive staff.
Yeah, and you're 100% right. I do think it's two different, but I think the results
exactly.
would be the same in
right.
terms of
the impact.
For Raider Nation, just in terms of, hey, we actually do have two dudes. Mm-hmm. You know, regardless of the reason why it wasn't working, if they can get them to work, that those are two, you know, foundational pieces for a
same
football team.
Same draft. First and second round picks.
Raider Sean says it's wild to think he's in year three now, that being Tyree. He's starting to come back to how he was in college. He knows he's dominant, but he dealt with injury, and on top of that, he was supposed to be a project, not necessarily a long project, but remember, Chandler Jones was supposed to be the starter and mentor Tyree, and then Tyree would come into the fold basically last year around this time. Now, instead, he has to speed up his recovery process to get out onto the field, and last year, I feel, was essentially his rookie year. So all the, quote, he's not living up to his pick yet talk, I feel should be tampered down. But if he breaks out this year, then that would make sense, because this is technically the time. First year injury, second year, quote unquote, rookie year, and now let's see what he can do. But he looked dominant, and he's feeling that way himself. Again, an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah, and spot on, actually.
I think the Chandler Jones part of it is a pretty sound angle of it as well. I mean, he was in, I don't know if mentor was, but he was supposed to be a guy like he watched, followed, teach me kind of your ways, whether it was Chandler saying, hey, this is how you do it, or just watching. He didn't get that, right? Like, he just didn't get that. And, yes, Max was there, but I think that's also a roster-building piece to it.
And Dave Ziegler knew when they drafted him that there was going to be a delayed payoff, because they understood the injury that they were dealing with when they drafted him. It wasn't a big secret. It wasn't a big surprise. They had Chandler Jones to soften that blow and to carry him through that development time. Not only the development time, but just getting him healthy and getting him ready to be able to play. Remember, he had missed so much football leading into that rookie season, so it was going to be a delayed response there. And it was about the future with Tyree, not just the present. Unfortunately for Dave and and those guys, they're not around to potentially see the big payoff.
Raider Kev says, good morning. I would say the biggest pleasant surprise is Tyree Wilson. He has been killing it, and I'm seeing big things on that D-line with him. Again, a refreshing way to talk about Tyree Wilson, something that we have not experienced as of yet. Hopefully he can continue to deliver. How much we see of him on Saturday, not too sure. But
no, he won't play. He's not going to play. Right?
Can't wait to see.
He's too much of the, right?
I agree.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So maybe, maybe not. I wouldn't think so. 702-365-9200. Hour three on the way. Bill A.D., VSIN's own founder, joins us live from the Circa. The Morning Tailgate, Raider Nation Radio, 920.